Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Bucks Weekly off and running here as we're starting to hit the end of the regular season. 15 games remain for the Bucks. They are coming off a very, very tough loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder at Fiserv Forum last night, a game where really those final 36 minutes were dominated, if at the very least controlled, by the Thunder, who improved to 56-12. It knocked the Bucks down to 38-29, so just a half game in front of the Indiana Pacers for the fourth seed in the East. And tonight, a big night for the Bucks in terms of scoreboard watching, because the Knicks, who, as we've said many times, I do think time has probably run out in terms of catching the Knicks for the three seed. That loss last night dropped you five games below the Knicks in the loss column, and they have the tiebreaker. So you're going to have to outplay the Knicks by six games the rest of the way with just 15 games remaining. But the Knicks are playing tonight against the Miami Heat. The Indiana Pacers are playing against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Detroit Pistons playing against the New Orleans Pelicans. That Knicks game is about midway through the third quarter, and the Knicks are up on the Heat 64-58. The news in the other two games is not good for the Bucks. The Pacers have a 14-point lead at the half on the Timberwolves, 60-46. And the Pistons are up 31 at halftime on the Pelicans, 63-32. So if these scores hold, Bucks and Pacers are going to be tied at 38-29 tomorrow. Bucks will still be the four seed by way of having the tiebreaker, but the Pistons will be 38-31. So two games back in the loss column and tied with both of those teams in the standings. It's going to be very tight, but I also mentioned this on the game broadcast last night. Going into that game against the Pacers, the Bucks had a 37% chance to get the four seed. After the win last night, or excuse me, two nights ago against the Indiana Pacers, after that win, that jumped all the way up to a 52% chance to grab the four seed in the playoffs this season, which of course gives you home court advantage. It means you're likely, if you can get through the first round, likely going to be playing the Cleveland Cavaliers in the second round. But with that loss, it started to even out. The Bucks now a 47% chance at the four seed. The Pacers a 43% chance. It's very likely they're not going to finish, the Bucks being they lower than fifth, because that Pistons schedule is extremely challenging. We've talked about how challenging that Bucks second half schedule was for most of this past month. Well, here's the good news. When you look at successive weeks here where you've had the Cleveland Cavaliers on a Sunday night, the Oklahoma City Thunder on a Sunday night, the Pacers were on there as well, you started to peel off some of those more challenging games, and the Bucks have gone from fifth most difficult to 19th now. Not even the most difficult schedule remaining in the Eastern Conference. That still belongs to the Detroit Pistons, but teams now moving in front of you with a more challenging schedule the rest of the way include the Indiana Pacers, the New York Knicks, the Cleveland Cavaliers. So I think it mostly speaks to just how many challenging opponents are out there for all teams across the Eastern Conference, but the numbers seeming to indicate Bucks are in a pretty good spot here. They are in the driver's seat when it comes to they and the Indiana Pacers to secure that four seed. But overall, with their schedule, you feel pretty good about where they're headed. Where you don't feel quite as good is what we've continued to see offensively for this team. And that's been one of the more common refrains that we've had throughout the course of this season, is the offense. And again, I go back to, if I would have told you before the season, this Bucks defense is going to be consistently ranking in the top 10, start to finish, one of the best defenses in the league. As we sit here today, they're just outside of the top 10 at a 112.1 defensive rating. That is just a fraction of a point behind the Memphis Grizzlies for 10th best. I think we all would have taken that and ran with it and said, look, we saw where the defense was last year at the time of the firing of Adrian Griffin. They were ranked 23rd. They got better immediately after the coaching change and Doc Rivers arrived, but then they started to take a little bit of a slide back towards the end of the season and still finished around middle of the pack. So to say, hey, this team is consistently going to be around 10. Right now they're 11. They're going to be sitting in that 8 to 12 range throughout the course of the season. I think we all would have looked at that and said, great, this Bucks team is going to be pushing for a top three seed, maybe even better if that's what the defense is giving you because of what we saw from this group offensively a season ago. And that's one of the other things that stands out is we saw a lot of inconsistencies last year, obviously, but through it all, there were numbers to back up your point one way or another. If you believed in the Bucks, you bought into them and you said, look, I know that the season hasn't gone as planned, but I believe in a team that has Giannis and Damian Lillard, and I think they're headed for some big things in the playoffs. There are numbers to back that up for you. The Bucks' record against the top 10 teams in the league by way of net rating, their win-loss record as well, five-man groupings. The Bucks' starting five was, I believe, the best net rating of any five-man lineup in the league. Giannis and Dame got better. That chemistry got better throughout the course of the season. So there were things along the way that said, I feel good. Just be patient. Give it time. There are also things that made you scratch your head and say, I don't know how far this team can go. The defense, obviously one of them. Ultimately, it became injuries. The difference in last season and this season is there are not quite as many of those tent poles that you can look for and say, okay, this is the sign that shows us here's where this team is. Here's why this team is one of the best in the Eastern Conference. I know we all still have that belief. And, you know, similar to the conversations that go on about the Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic, I personally am not going to bet against any team that has Giannis and Damian Lillard. I need to see you knock them off. I need to see them exit the playoffs before I believe it. I'm going to put my trust in that group. But outside of that, there's been fewer and fewer signs out there. The record, not only against the top three teams in the Eastern Conference, in the Celtics, the Cavs, and the Knicks. As we all know, it's been well documented. The Bucks are 0-9 in those games. Well, you're 0-2 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And, you know, you did win your game against the Denver Nuggets, but you split with the Houston Rockets. Same story with the Memphis Grizzlies, where you lost both of those games. You won your initial game with the Lakers, lost your first game with the Warriors. So, I mean, there's a very real chance we're seeing not only below 500, they are going to finish below 500 against the top 11 teams if we take the Bucks out of the mix. So who are the playoff, not play-in teams? But there's a real chance it could be the worst or one of the worst in the league in terms of playoff teams. The offensive rating, again, it was sixth a season ago, and it started to get better throughout the course of the season. Right now, as we sit here on March 17th, the Bucks are 13th in offensive rating. Fourth quarter offense has been even worse. Crunch time and clutch offense, same story there. And for every step forward or two steps forward that we see in those regards, you see an equal amount of steps backward. And I think that's what we saw last night. So the Bucks now still are 30th in fourth quarter offense this season, and with that, have a negative net rating. They're in the bottom 10 in net rating in the fourth quarter, in the most important quarter, where, again, this team was pretty good a season ago. It's been a total opposite story so far this season. So we'll take a closer look at some of the reasons as to why that has been the case for this Bucks group. And the offense overall, as we mentioned, it's near the middle of the pack for a team that was approaching the top five a season ago. What have we started to see if there are any trends that are out there with this Bucks offense? We'll take a look at that coming up after this on Bucks Weekly.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
So that fourth quarter offense number for the Bucks, I mentioned before the break, they are dead last, 30th in the NBA in fourth quarter offensive efficiency, 106.1. Is that number for the Bucks? It is tied with the Brooklyn Nets. The Pistons are also a pretty bad fourth quarter offense, which could make for some rather interesting games, those final two games of the season for the Bucks. The Pistons are 27th in offense in the fourth quarter, and they are just slightly better than the Bucks defensively in those fourth quarters. by slightly. I mean, they're fourth best. So that's the interesting part here. Bucks are 30th in offense, fifth best in defense. Pistons in the bottom five in offense, fourth best in defense in the fourth quarter. But the big piece of it is, in, you know, I don't know how much of yesterday's game against the Thunder was a quote-unquote blueprint game. I think there are a couple of trends that we saw in that game that we have seen pop up more and more these past couple of weeks here. But the Bucks shooting numbers have just been nowhere near good enough so far this season in the fourth quarter. And a lot of that starts with Damian Lillard. That's the guy that you brought in for that specific reason, to not carry, but certainly aid your fourth quarter offense, to be the guy that would give you a half court score in those moments where, again, when the Bucks won the championship in 2021, they had an incredible defense. Offense was not. The offense struggled each and every year in the postseason. Bucks had pretty good offenses throughout the course of the regular season, but the playoffs, it wasn't. And so that was a big impetus for that move to bring in Damian Lillard. I think you looked back at series against the Miami Heat. And again, the caveat with both of the final series that led up into this trade was health. You did not have Chris Middleton in that series against the Boston Celtics. And somehow, some way, Giannis Antetokounmpo willed you into a game seven and even put you in a spot where you had a 3-2 lead with a chance to close out the Celtics in game six at home. Jason Tatum and Al Horford had monster games. I think 46 that Tatum scored. You go back to Boston and you just never had a great feeling about that. Playing in Boston, game seven on the road. The next year, that series against the Miami Heat, there was a lot going on. Obviously off the court with Mike Budenholzer and the tragedy that struck his family. Giannis was not healthy. That started in game one when everybody's favorite play in the league, the charge that Kevin Love drew on Giannis, led to a back issue for Giannis. He was never the same throughout the course of the series. Wesley Matthews wasn't in that series either. And you look back on Jimmy Butler and how much he erupted. You would have loved to have more bodies to throw out there on Jimmy Butler, but you would have loved to have had a better offense and more scoring. It's hard not to get the visual out of your head of how that series ended, where the Bucks lose the closeout game in game five at home and did not even get the shot off. It was in Grayson Allen's hands as the clock expired and the Bucks lose. Game five, eliminated as a one seed in the first round of the playoffs. So you knew we got to address the offense. Got to make this offense better. Have to have a formidable playoff offense. I think you saw in game one against the Pacers last year, Damian Lillard come out like a house of fire. Said, okay, this is exactly what we were looking for. But you didn't have Giannis in that series. Damian Lillard was dinged up and missed, what, two games in that series as well? So it never came to fruition. This year was the hope of Dame, talked about being in the best shape of his life. He's been playing incredibly so far this season. And I think the big thing for Dame is efficiency.
How can you continue to get that?
He's done that so far throughout the course of the season. But in the fourth quarter, Damian Lillard right now is shooting just under 40% from the floor. He's shooting 29% on threes. That's the big one to circle. That number needs to be higher. And this isn't to call out Damian Lillard specifically. It's across the board when you look at some of these numbers. Kevin Porter Jr., a new addition here, 33% shooter from three in the fourth quarter. Gary Trent Jr., 34%. Kyle Kuzma, we've only seen for 18 games here in a Bucks uniform. But in those 18 games, Kyle Kuzma is shooting 26% from three in the fourth quarter. Ryan Rollins, how much of a revelation he was early in the season. He's a 31% shooter from three in the fourth quarter. So up and down the roster, the Bucks just have not gotten that efficiency. And that's where the challenge is. It's not just one player and looking to, okay, if we do this differently, if we run this offense differently, if we look to scheme to get the guy the ball here or there, we can get better looks. We can start to push that offensive number. It's been across the board. And frankly, the guys that have been matching what their season averages have been in the fourth quarter or better or outperforming them have been Bobby Portis and AJ Green. But outside of that, it has not been the case. Torian Prince, as good as he's been throughout the course of the season, Torian Prince is shooting 38% on threes in the fourth quarter. He had a big one in that win against the Pacers and some big free throws. But just up and down this list, the three-point percentage and the overall field goal percentage have not been kind to the Bucks in fourth quarters of games. That is the biggest thing that you have to get turned around. Better quality shots, sure. Sometimes you just got to hit shots, too. We've seen countless games where open looks don't go in. But it may start to get to the point where we have to evaluate rotations. We have to evaluate who's on the floor with who. Who starts these games? Because that'll allow us to line up who closes these games. I do think we're starting to reach the point where everything is on the table here. You have to exhaust all resources to get that number improved. Because I've said it before, you're 30th right now in fourth quarter offense. I mean, that number is what it is. With 15 games remaining, barring the Bucks putting up 50 points in the fourth quarter in each of those remaining 15 games from here on out, that number's not going to move that much further north. So you really have to start to look at how have they done since after the All-Star break, when you had a chance to get all your new additions by way of the trade, more comfortable, get a lot of those rotations in. I mean, right now it's just Bobby Portis that you haven't had an extended chance to work these guys into the mix with. And since the All-Star break, that I suppose is the encouraging thing. We mentioned the Bucks are 30th in the fourth quarter season as a whole. Since the All-Star break, it's 15th. Still, again, not where you need to be, but much better than where we see as a whole. But that's the big thing. That 15 number since the All-Star break, that's got to move closer into the top 10, and that's where the defense is. But that's where we have to see improvement from this Bucks team in each of these upcoming games, because you get the sense this five-game road trip is going to have quite a few of those clutch games on the schedule, potentially as early as tomorrow against the Golden State Warriors, who have basically been unbeatable since bringing in Jimmy Butler, and that includes a win against the Bucks earlier this season. I mentioned all those games of importance for the Bucks. We'll continue to get you up to date on those scores as we move along. But coming up next, it's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks and this week's guest on Inside the NBA on TNT and from the mean streets of Milwaukee, Ernie Johnson. You'll hear the conversation coming up after this on Bucks Weekly.
The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Our guest is one of Milwaukee's favorite sons, Darvin Ham.
Giannis has some years still where his jump shot is going to get more consistent, get better. The free throw shooting is going to get better.
This is Courtside with Gail Klappa.
Our guest is the head of the herd, the head coach of the Bucks, Doc Rivers.
Well, you can see it's people buying in, and it takes a buy-in from your entire team.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn-up play, and decision made.
Here in Milwaukee, we call him the people's mayor. Our guest, Bucks forward Bobby Portis.
A hard worker, blue-collar guy, so I'm a blue-collar guy in a blue-collar city.
Now, here's your host, Gail Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gail Klappa, and this is Courtside. He never laced him up, never scored a point in an NBA arena, but he's one of the most well-known personalities in the world of pro basketball, and his name is synonymous with excellence in sports broadcasting. For more than three decades, he's been the anchor and the straight man on Inside the NBA. He lets it rip all season long with Shaq, Charles Barkley, and Kenny the Jet Smith. This summer, Ernie Johnson Jr. will return to his birthplace here in Milwaukee for a special award. And tonight, Ernie is our guest here on Courtside. Ernie, thanks for taking the time to visit with us. Great to sit down with you.
It is absolutely my pleasure, Gail. Thank you so much. And wow, I don't know who wrote that, but that was really, really nice. I'm assuming that's your work, and it's I feel a lot of pressure to live up to that here as we speak today.
Well, no worries, Ernie. I made that up in the shower, so I hope it was good.
Maybe you sang it. Okay, great.
Well, Ernie, for starters, what was your first reaction when you learned that this summer you'll be inducted into the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame?
Thought my email had been hacked. I thought I was being punked. That somebody was having some fun at my expense. No, I mean, it was so gratifying. And you know, immediately there was like, wow, I don't know if I deserve to be in that crew. I mean, that's, you know, when I took a look at the inductees in that Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, and learned also that it's like the oldest one in the country. Yes. For state sports, all of the athletic halls of fame. And I was like, wow. So I'm totally gratified and humbled, and can't wait for the summer.
Well, Ernie, remind our listeners, if you will, about your formative years here in Milwaukee, a time when your dad helped the then Milwaukee Braves win the World Series.
Yeah, it was, I was born in 56, 1956, yeah. I had two older sisters, so they actually were able to appreciate a little bit more the fact that my dad was pitching for the Braves. Because when they won the series in 57, I was a year old. So my recollections of that win over the Yankees, a little bit foggy, but it was, I've seen old videos of my dad pitching, and I was, I do remember going to County Stadium a lot. Because after his playing days, he became the PR guy for the team. And so, yeah, we used to get in to County Stadium all the time and go watch the Braves. So those were the roots. And in his role with the team, when the move to Atlanta happened, he was front and center. And so, here I am in 1965 saying, I have no idea what Atlanta, Georgia is, but we're moving there. I sure remember growing up in Milwaukee, and I remember snow, and I remember North 68th Street, and the memories are really fond.
Oh, God. Well, you're on the air family. Includes those basketball icons with, needless to say, huge personalities, but... Ernie, one of the enduring qualities of your show is that it can really go off the rails with comments from mostly Charles, but also Shaq. As the ringmaster, how do you manage to keep the program going from point A to point B for all these years?
Well, one thing, you call it, ringmaster. People have said, oh, yeah, you're the point guard on that show, or you're this, or you're that. The best description I ever got, I was on a radio show one day, and the host said, you're not any of that. You're not the traffic cop. You're not any of that. What you are is you're the dad driving cross country with these three kids in the back seat, and you're turning around saying, one more peep out of you and I'm turning this car around. And sometimes that really is a much more apt description of it. But I'm so lucky to have been doing this for as long as I have been, Gail. You learn something every night. I mean, look, I've been at TNT for better than 35 years, doing the show Inside the NBA, and to work with these guys who all come at the game from a different angle, and to be able to have this unrehearsed letter rip kind of a show is just tremendous. And that's the reason it works, is because we don't sit there and rehearse segments three times. We don't even rehearse them once. these guys sit down and we just let her rip. And I think it's that uncertainty and that unknowing and that unpredictability, I think, that resonates with viewers, because they're sitting there saying, I have no idea what's going to happen on this show next. And heck, neither do I.
Ernie, let's talk a little hoops. Bucks coach Doc Rivers said recently that he thinks Giannis Antetokounmpo, obviously having another great season, is underappreciated around the NBA. Your thoughts?
I can see why Doc would say that. I just think we as a, and I'll say a fan, that I'm a fan, because I am a fan of the game. Sure, I work for TNT and we carry the games, but I'm a fan of it too. And I think sometimes there just becomes a comfort factor, or you get used to greatness. And I think that applies to Giannis. I think that applies to Dame. I think that applies to the Joker, Jason Tatum. Guys who for years now have been at the forefront of the game. And so people just kind of assume they're going to have great years and don't appreciate it. I think, you know, SGA being younger over the last couple of years has kind of forged his way into that spotlight. And so he's kind of the newcomer into that group of, look at all these superstars. And so, yeah, I think he can be taken for granted. I think that's probably where Doc is coming from. And that's too bad because, yeah, you put up numbers like he's putting up. And certainly he's in the conversation for MVP. You know, LeBron's in there too. I mean, again, sometimes I think we're just guilty of getting too used to greatness.
I think, Ernie, that's what you tell your wife, that she's getting too used to greatness, right?
Yeah, I've used that line before, Gail, but her response probably is not fitting for our broadcast here today.
I can understand that. And Ernie, how would you grade the trade right before last season that brought Damian Lillard to the Bucks with Jrue Holiday landing in Boston?
Well, it's tough to give it a grade. I certainly think Dame brings a quality to Milwaukee as a scorer and a shooter. And but you know, when you look at Milwaukee without Drew, and then Drew goes to Boston, and Boston wins the championship, it's like, look, you're going to have to give up something to get something, and that's what the Bucks did. But it turned out better for Boston. But I think that what the Bucks have done, you know, they had to pull the trigger on another deal, you know, and it's, you know, when you give up somebody that fans are used to seeing, like in Chris Middleton this year,
right,
and you get Kyle Kuzma. So yeah, I mean, sometimes it's tough on fans because they get these bonds to people and suddenly they're gone. But you know, I think Milwaukee has poised itself this year for one of these. Excuse me, while you talk about everybody else in the East, I don't think there's a whole lot of folks who want to play us either.
More with Ernie Johnson in a moment. This is Courtside on WTMJ.
Now back to more Courtside with Gail and Inside the NBA's Ernie Johnson.
Ernie, you've had a long and really storied career. Just curious, for our listeners, what one or two experiences stand out to you the most? Experiences that will kind of always be seared in your memory.
I think, you know, one thing that I'm really proud of is that that my dad and I, my late father and I, are teammates in a way, because we're both in the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame. So a handful of years after he was inducted, a couple of years before he passed, then I was inducted there. So that's really special to me. And that's just one of those things. I remember that night. It was just like, okay, my dad and I are on the same team, because he's the guy who taught me everything. He's the guy who taught me how to be a dad, how to be a husband, how to be a father, how to be a professional. And so I owe all of that to him and my mom. And so that's, I'll just keep it to that one right there. That's pretty darn special.
Yeah, for sure. And also, you had the great experience of teaming up with your dad on Braves broadcast for a while.
Yeah, that was, you know, Gail, that's cool. And I realize, and I think it's important. I know there are a lot of guys out there who don't have that same relationship with their dad. Something's going on in their lives, and that relationship got broken somehow and maybe didn't get repaired. So I realize that I had it good, that I got to work with my dad for parts of four seasons calling baseball down here in Atlanta. You know, and so I know that there are some guys out there said the last thing I'd ever want to do is work with my dad, go to my job with my dad. But for me, it was really special to sit there and, you know, work shoulder to shoulder with him. Yeah, that's that was cool. I just didn't want to embarrass him or have him, like, retire early because he couldn't put up with me.
Well, Ernie, on a more serious note, in addition to being a father and a great broadcaster, you're also a cancer survivor. Tell us about your health today, and what words of wisdom would you share with folks who are battling cancer now?
Yeah, I mean, we all go through stuff. Nobody's immune. I've had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I've had prostate cancer. I was fortunate enough to be up there in Milwaukee and get a Vince Lombardi cancer award a few years ago, which was very meaningful for me. But I think we're all handed different things, and it's up to, it's through faith, family, and friends that I get there. Good doctors and faith, family, and friends. And so, feeling great. And it's one of those things. Look, I had a mom and two sisters who both had cancer. That's a lot to live up to, because they fought it like crazy. And so when I got it, it was like, I will fight it as aggressively as you guys did. So, not wishing, it's tough, and it has its moments, but, I'm sitting here talking to you and going to be in Milwaukee this summer. And so life is good.
Yeah. That's great to hear that you're in good health today, Ernie. Really glad to hear that. And finally, a closing thought. What final thought would you like to share with Bucks fans everywhere?
Oh, I can't wait to be back on. We joke, on our air, we always say, hey, it's the mean streets of Milwaukee. And that really is a joke, because and I think our guys were kind of like, talking about other folks who had grown up in tough things, and I'd said one year on the air, hey, come on, guys, I'm from the mean streets of Milwaukee, and all I can picture was North 68th Street, the most placid place on earth. And so it was all done in jest, but we still say it. So when every time we have the Bucks on, hey, we're taking to the mean streets tonight, and so I look forward to being back on the mean streets this summer and taking my place in the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame. It means the world to me, and I know it would mean the world to my father, too, and my mom, and all of us who spent time in Wisconsin.
Fantastic. Ernie, congratulations on your upcoming induction into the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame. Been a great pleasure chatting with you. You've been listening to Courtside on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, our thanks to Ernie Johnson for his time tonight on Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks, and a big honor there, as you heard by EJ, going into the Wisconsin Sports Hall of Fame this summer, the ringleader of Inside the NBA, which we learned earlier this year is going to continue and continue to be produced out of Atlanta, just airing on ESPN go forward when the new NBA rights media deal kicks in this upcoming season. So we'll see the return of the NBA to NBC and Amazon getting in on the mix as well. Those big scores that we wanted to keep you up to date on, we've seen a lot of turnaround here, not in one of these games. That is in New Orleans, where I mentioned the Pistons were up 31 at the half. There's less than a minute left in the third quarter. It's a 27-point lead for the Pistons. So Detroit appears en route to a win, and they're going to remain just two games back of the Bucks in the loss column. The Indiana Pacers were up 14 at the half on the Timberwolves. Minnesota now leads that game 76-75 with about 4 minutes left in the third quarter. Another interesting score taking place in Houston, where the 76ers were up big, up 25 in this game against the Houston Rockets. Philadelphia still playing without Joel Embiid. There is no Tyrese Maxey in this game. And they announced earlier today, Paul George is going to be shut down for the rest of the season. They were up 25 with the walking wounded. The Rockets have since come back to make this a game. It's 107-102. Philly is leading at the start of the fourth quarter. Knicks are blowing out the Miami Heat 97-75. So Bucks are not going to get any help there. And again, this probably shuts the door on any chance for the three seed for the Bucks. By the way, this is going to be Miami's eighth straight loss. This will be the first time in Eric Spoelstra's career he has been a part of an eight-game losing streak. One other game of importance for the Bucks and Bucks fans to keep an eye on, and that tips off about 10 minutes from now in San Francisco. The Warriors hosting the Denver Nuggets. It's important because that's who the Bucks play tomorrow, the Golden State Warriors. They will be on night two of a back-to-back. And this is an interesting stretch, not only for the West Coast road trip, but last night, the Oklahoma City Thunder were on night two of a back-to-back. Now, so were the Bucks. But tomorrow night, the Warriors will be on night two of a back-to-back. Thursday night, you play the Lakers. They will be on night two of a back-to-back in that game. And then Saturday, you're playing the Sacramento Kings. That's where the run ends for the Bucks. The Kings do not play on Friday. But a good stretch there for the Bucks, where they won't have a rest disadvantage in these challenging West Coast road trip games. There was one piece of news for the Bucks that is a rather significant one that we want to catch you up on in terms of an injury situation I touched on yesterday on the radio broadcast. So we'll give you the details and what to expect from Jericho Sims as we wrap things up after this on Bucks Weekly.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
Well, I mentioned there was an injury update for the Bucks. The news is not great. It could be much worse. The Bucks announcing earlier today, about an hour or so ago, that Jericho Sims did in fact have surgery to repair a torn ligament on his right thumb. The surgery took place in New York, and he is expected to be sidelined for about 4 weeks, with a likely return for the playoffs, as they updated or as they provided in their update. So yesterday before the game, Doc Rivers had said, look, it's a significant injury, when he was asked, as he always is before each game, about the update on the injury report. Any player that's listed as questionable or probable, is this guy going to go? Is this guy going to go? And it eventually got to Jericho Sims. And what about Jericho? And Doc said, it's a significant injury. And there's a lot of considerations right now. Surgery is one of them. And you got the sense it was similar to what we heard about Ryan Rollins earlier this season when he suffered that shoulder dislocation. And Doc said it's a significant injury. Surgery is a possibility. He did not specify, but reading between the lines, you got the sense surgery is going to end his season. So it's just a matter of pain tolerance. What can you play through? But any time Ryan Rollins would hit the deck, I think you'd hold your breath, especially before they acquired Kevin Porter Jr. And it sounded like same deal with Jericho Sims, but it must have just progressed, or the grip strength wasn't there, and he's undergone surgery. So again, the good news, as the Bucks themselves have provided, he is likely to return for the playoffs. That's the good news. The bad news is the interim period, where you got to get to the playoffs. And you still don't have Bobby Portis for, 11 more games yet that you won't have BP. So the Bucks went from the front court all of a sudden becoming a strength to now you're kind of right back to that same spot. You have added Kyle Kuzma, but a big blow for the Bucks, and especially the way Jericho Sims had been playing. So very unfortunate news for him. We wish the best, and hopefully he's back for the postseason. Tomorrow night, Bucks begin this five-game road trip in San Francisco against the Warriors. That's a 9 o'clock tip. 8:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game into the early morning hours for Bucks Talk. I will talk with you then.